Radio 4, it's our afternoon play. Love Virtually is based on the book by Daniel Glatauer.
January 2010, 10:19 a.m. 2. Words@light.com. Subject: cancelling my subscription. I would like to cancel my subscription to your magazine. Can I do so by email? Best wishes, E. Rothner. 2nd of February 2010, 11:52 a.m. Subject: cancelling my subscription. I still want to cancel. I look forward to hearing from you. Best wishes, E. Rothner. 5th of March 2010, 9:53 a.m. 2. Words@like.com. Dear Sir or Madam at Like magazine, are you deliberately ignoring my attempts to cancel my subscription for the last 2 months? I regret to inform you that I'm not going to pay another cent. Ms. E. Rothner.
Dear Ms. Rothner, you've sent your message to the wrong address. This is words@leica.com, with an E-I. You're the third person who's emailed me trying to cancel their subscription to Like. Must be a really shocking magazine.
Oh, so sorry. Thanks for putting me right. Best, E-R. 20th of December 2010, 4 p.m. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all, from Emmy Rothner.
Dear Emmy Rothner, we don't know each other in the slightest, but I'd like to thank you for your highly original round-robin email just now. One thing you should know, I just adore round-robin emails. Regards, Leo Leica.
Dear Mr. Regards Leica, with an E, my apologies. You seem to have slipped into my contacts list by accident. I'll delete you straight away. Unfortunately, I have a chronic EI problem, or rather an E before I problem. If I'm trying to type I always manage to slip in an E before it, as if the tips of my two middle fingers are fighting over the keys. I'm so sorry to have bothered you. It won't happen again. Probably. Have a nice evening.
Dear Ms. Rothner, I'd like to congratulate you on having produced a brilliant message. How long did it take you to write? I'm currently involved in a project on the language of emails. Am I right in thinking it took you no longer than 20 seconds?
Ah, you work professionally with emails. Sounds fascinating. Do you by any chance have a website? If not, would you like one? That's my job, designing websites. Oh, and so far this message has only taken me 10 seconds to write. I've been timing it. Now I've got a question for you. Why did you assume that my E before I email took only 20 seconds?
Dear unknown Ms. Rothner, I'll have to answer you another time. I'm going to turn off my computer now. Good night. Yours, Leo Leica. 10th of January 2011, 9:30 a.m. Subject, assumptions. Dear Ms. Rothner, please forgive my silence over the holidays. My life is somewhat chaotic at the moment. You wanted to know why I assumed you took no longer than 20 seconds to write your EI email. Well, it seems to me that you are a fast talker and typist, a bubbly individual. Your emails are breathless, zippy, and I can't detect any pauses. But if you're telling me that it took you maybe 3 minutes to write that EI email, I must be wrong. Thank you in any case for your refreshing manner. And if you happen to air into my inbox again, I'd be delighted.
Dear Mr. Leica, I was just irritated that you presumed I was someone who simply dashes off emails. It's true, of course, but you had no right to know it. You obviously know a lot about emailing. Are you a professor? Best regards, Emmy Bubbly Rothner. 5th of February 2011, 10 a.m. Subject, hello. Hello, Mr. Leica. You never answered my question of 3 weeks ago. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, after a year of trying, my subscription to Like magazine has finally been cancelled. I still don't know whether you're a professor, and Google's never heard of you. Best regards, Emmy Rothner.
Dear Ms. Rothner, I'm so glad you've written again. Did you really Google me? As it happens, I'm not a professor. I'm a university assistant in language psychology. Maybe I'm writing like someone older at the moment. And I suspect you're writing like someone younger than you are. As it happens, we're currently working on a study looking at the influence of email on our linguistic behaviour. This is why I tend to talk shop. But in future, I promise to restrain myself. All the best, Leo.
Dear Mr. Language Psychologist, which part of the email you just sent me do you think I found most interesting? So much so that I urgently need to ask you about it. All the best, Emmy Rothner.
Dear Emmy Rothner. Okay, I guess that you're most interested in my observation that you write like somebody younger than you are. Now you're forced to ask yourself, what makes him think that? And then, how old does he actually think I am? Am I right?
How old is my writing? How old am I? And why? If you manage to solve this puzzle, you can tell me what my shoe size is too. All the best, Emmy. P.S. I'm enjoying this.
I really have to get on and finish some work here. But I would say you write like a 30-year-old, but you're really around 40. A 30-year-old doesn't subscribe to Like magazine. But you work with websites, so you could be even younger than 30. Except that nobody younger than 30 would send a mass email to clients wishing them Merry Christmas. And finally, your name is Emmy, short for Emma. 30-year-olds aren't called Emma. I know three Emmas, and they're all over 40. Emmys are younger. In short, my dear Emmy Rothner, you write as if you were 30, but in fact you are 42. Am I right? Your shoe size is 6. You're petite, bubbly, and have short, dark hair. Am I right? Have a good evening. Leo Leica. Dear Ms. Rothner, you've gone silent. Have I offended you? I have a hazy picture of you, and I tried to convey this to you in yesterday's email. I really didn't mean to offend you. Best wishes, Leo Leica.
6th of February, 2011, 10 a.m. Subject, getting to know each other. Dear Leo, I thoroughly enjoyed your emails yesterday and I'm not offended in the least. I would just say that the Like magazine subscription was a present for my mother. So what now? Am I younger than I write? I'm going to have to leave you to ponder this. I'm afraid I've got an appointment. What can it be? Confirmation class? Ballet lesson? Manicure? You decide. Have a nice day, Leo. Emmy. P.S. You aren't so off with the shoe size. I'm a 5.
Emmy, so sorry I haven't replied for a few days. In my defence, I have actually written to you every day. I just haven't sent the emails. I've reached an awkward stage in our correspondence, you see. She, this Emmy with the size 5 shoes, is beginning to interest me more than she ought to. I think it's wise to work on the assumption we will never meet in person, and I don't want our correspondence to sink to the level of Lonely Hearts banter. All the best, Leo.
Nothing seems to make sense. What I think you're saying is, one, you write me emails and don't send them. Two, you're gradually getting more interested in me. What does that mean? Three, you don't seem to want to know what I look like, as you think it's wise that we'll never meet. I envy your devotion to wisdom. Four, you don't want banter. So what do you want? Good night, Emmy.
Morning, Emmy. Thank you for your questions. Has it occurred to you that we know absolutely nothing about each other? We've yet to say anything about our everyday lives, about the things that are important to us. And thanks to some crummy local magazine, we know we live in the same city. But what else? We share a hobby. We're both interested in a complete stranger. Brilliant. In fact, I'm very interested in you, Emmy. I don't know why. Do you want me to keep writing to you? I'd be grateful for a straight answer. My very best wishes, Leo.
That was a long one. You must be having a day off. Or does this count as work? Leo, I want you to keep sending me emails, if you don't mind. And if that is not clear enough, I'll say it again. Yes, please, more emails from Leo. More emails from Leo. All the very, very best, Emmy.
13th of February, 2011. 10:45 p.m. Subject, me. Do you know what, dear Emmy? I have decided to tell you something about my life.
Here goes.
Her name was Marlena. Once upon a time, I would have written, her name is Marlena. A few months ago, she found somebody else. A pilot for a Spanish airline. I mean, can you believe it? When I found out, I was suddenly sure that Marlena was the one, and I had to avoid losing her. I did everything I could for an entire week, and she was actually on the verge of giving me one last chance. Christmas in Paris. I was planning to propose to her there. The afternoon before our departure, I got a sickening email from her. Leo, it won't work. I can't do it. Paris would just be another lie. Forgive me. I wrote back right away, begging her to give me one last chance, begging her to come to Paris, please. Then I waited. Hours and hours. I set myself a deadline of 9 p.m. If she had not emailed me by then, our last chance would be gone. It was 8:57. And then, suddenly, a message. I opened it. And what did I find? Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from Emmy Rothner. There you go. Have a nice evening, Leo.
Dear Leo, what a great story. I'm rather proud to have played such a fateful cameo role. Now, do you mind if I get a bit tough with you? You seem to be a man who's only interested in a woman at the beginning and at the end of things, when he's just about to lose her for good. Am I right? You'd be prepared to saunter up the aisle just to get a Spanish pilot out of your girlfriend's bed. That testifies to some lack of respect for the marriage vows. You've been married before. Am I right? Do you want me to go on writing? Have a good day, Emmy.
Hello, Emmy. I'm at work, so I'll keep this brief. Please do not presume to know me better than you can. Sorry, but I've never been married. You? Several times. Am I right? Leo.
Whoops. Now I've upset you. I didn't mean to, really. I'm so sorry. P.S. Yes, I've been married. Once. And I still am. February 23rd, 2011, 10:08 p.m. Subject, hello? Dear Leo, hello? Leo, it's been a whole week. Are you there? Are you still upset? Have you lost interest in me because I'm spoken for? You could at least be man enough to tell me. Best wishes, Emmy. 26th February 2011, 7:03 a.m. Subject, 3 days later and no reply. Asshole.
March the 1st, 2011, 8:16 p.m. Subject, a lovely message from Emmy. Hello, Emmy. I just got home after an exhausting conference in Bucharest. Thanks for the warm welcome. I'd never intended to get to know you more than this electronic correspondence could allow. Neither have I ever wanted to know what you look like. So it makes no difference to me if the real Emmy is married. But here's one thing I don't understand. Why is a married woman so keen to correspond with an unknown, sometimes grumpy professor type who's damaged by relationships? And what, for that matter, does your husband make of it?
Sorry about the arsehole, but it had to be said. If you would allow me to be the tiniest bit provocative, my dear Mr. Language Psychologist, the fantasy Emmy that you're creating can't possibly hold a candle to the real Emmy Rothner. Oh, Leo, I've got a bit of a crush on you. I like you, and I just can't understand why you don't want to know what I look like. I have to say, I wouldn't mind knowing what you look like. As for my husband, Bernard and I have a fantastic, harmonious relationship, and two children, not my own. Fiona is 16, Jonas is 11, and Bernard is considerably older than me. We don't really keep secrets from each other. I told him I've been emailing with a nice language psychologist, and he just asked me if I wanted to meet you. I said no. Then he said, so what's it all about? And I said, nothing. And he said, I see. And that was it. I don't want to talk about my family any further, okay? So, over to you. What do you look like? Tell me, please.
3rd of March, 2011, 9:15 a.m. Subject, an experiment. Dear Emmy, so, you're dead set on knowing what I look like.
Okay.
I propose a game. I bet that out of, let's say, 20 women, I could identify the one and only Emmy Rothner, whereas you'd never guess the real Leo among the same number of men. Do you fancy having a go at this experiment? Have a nice morning.
Are you kidding? Definitely. Let's do it. So how should we proceed? Should we send each other 20 photos with one of ourselves amongst them?
I suggest we meet in person without knowing it. That is, we should stay in a crowd. We could go to the Café Hubert, that big place in town. There's always a very mixed crowd in there. We could choose a window of, say, 2 hours, perhaps on a Sunday afternoon, when we both have to be there to try and work each other out. What do you think?
Dear Leo, I can't concentrate on my work today with your experiment in mind. But there's just one problem. I'm worried that we won't like the way we look. Will that be the end of our journey? I'd rather remain anonymous and get emails from you for the rest of my life. Kiss, Emmy.
I'm not worried about our meeting. You won't recognise me. And I've got such a clear picture of you that it needs only to be confirmed. A kiss from me too, Leo.
Next Sunday, between 3 and 5pm at the Café Hubert, I'll be there. And P.S., I think we should have an email embargo until then, OK?
Until Sunday then. Yours, Leo.
Leo, were you there? Did you go to the cafe? Answer me.
Of course I did.
Shit. I was afraid of that. Every man who could have conceivably been you was a total no-no. To look at, I mean. Seriously, were you really there today? Not hidden away in the loos or watching from across the road, but actually in the cafe? Tell me you weren't that stocky fellow at the bar with all-over body hair that looked like a Brillo pad.
Emmy, not offending people is not one of your strengths, you know. It's clear that looks are your highest priority. Let me reassure you that the hairy beast at the bar was not me. But go on. Who else might I have been? And if I'm one of the no-nos, does that signal the end of our emails?
No, Leo. We can go on emailing each other with abandon. The fact is, I didn't see a single man at the cafe today that I thought could be as exciting as the way you write to me.
Really? Not one? Perhaps you just missed me.
Sadly, I don't think I've overlooked anyone. Okay, there was one interesting-looking guy, maybe the only one, standing with one of those leggy blonde model types at the bar towards the back on the right. But they were holding hands and he only had eyes for her. So who else was there? A bunch of allotment enthusiasts and men who collect beer mats or dull chaps in dark suits. Not one charismatic man to be seen. So where was my Leo Leica?
Without wishing to sound arrogant, my dear Emmy, I knew that you wouldn't identify me.
Which one were you, Leo? Tell me.
Let's talk again tomorrow, Emmy. By the way, just a minor observation. We haven't talked about you at all. Lots of love. Yours, Leo.
What? You can't just go like that. Leo, you can't do this to me. Write back, now, please. I've got it. I've just woken up in a cold sweat. I've worked it out. You were a waiter. You know the guy who runs the place, so he let you pretend to be a waiter for a few hours. Am I right? You stitched me up, Leo.
Good morning, Emmy. That's pretty harsh. I was not a waiter. I was not a delivery man, or a kitchen porter, or a policeman outside, or a loo attendant. I was plain old Leo. A customer in Café Hubert between 3 and 5 on Sunday afternoon. Too bad, dear Emmy looks are everything, Rothner. I suggest we talk about you instead for a bit. There were a remarkably large number of interesting women in that cafe between 3 and 5 who might have been my Emmy Rothner. But here are the top three candidates. First, the prototype. She was standing at the bar, fourth from the left. Petite, short dark hair, just under 40. Nervous. Twirling her whiskey in her glass, funky dress sense, green shoes that appeared to be a size 5. Face, beautiful. Type, boisterous, temperamental. In short, a classic Emmy Rovner type. The second was the alternative type, the blonde Emmy. Very confident, blonde, straggly, long hair, around 35, long legs, tight black T-shirt and large breasts, if I may make such an observation. Face, beautiful. Type, self-confident, cool. Last but not least, the surprise Emmy, the anti-type. Kept wandering around the cafe, stood at the bar a couple of times. Large almond eyes, shoulder-length brown hair, layered at the front. Slim, wonderful black and yellow trousers, and wearing a distinctive chunky wedding ring. Face, beautiful. Type, sensual, diffident. And because of all this, maybe Emmy Rovner. Now, if you concede that you are one of my three Emmy candidates, I'll give you a clue about who I may have been. Love, Leo.
Okay, Leo. But you give me your clue first, and then I'll tell you if you're right that I'm one of that trio.
Do you have brothers or sisters?
Yes. An older sister who lives in Switzerland. Why?
That was the clue, Emmy. And by the way, I've got an older brother and a younger sister. I'm very close to my sister Adrienne. We tell each other everything. Now you have your clue, Emmy. You'll have to work it out. So, were you one of my three Emmys?
Leo, that's too cryptic. Please give me one more hint, and then I'll tell you.
My sister is tall and blonde.
Okay, that's nice. Whatever. I give up. And dear Leo, my people watcher, I am one of those three. I'm amazed you could find three such different women so attractive all at the same time. But that's men for you. I hope you have a pleasant evening. I'm going to take a Leo break. I have more essential matters to attend to. Bye for now, Emmy.
Just then, you were totally Emmy number one. Hello? Emmy? Clue again. My sister is a model. Good night.
14th of March, 2011, 8:15 a.m. Subject, no way. Dear Leo, you are kidding. You mean the blonde vamp standing at the bar with her boyfriend?
How did you describe me? The only interesting guy was standing with one of those leggy blonde model types at the bar.
I wouldn't get too excited, sweetheart. I just thought to myself, anyone who's with a woman like that must be an interesting guy. All I know about you is that you're fairly tall, fairly slim, fairly young, fairly well-dressed. I glanced at you only very briefly.
And I don't have a clue what you look like either, my dear. I spent the whole time standing with my back to the room while Adrienne picked out candidates and described them from her perspective, hence all the hair and fashion details. I didn't see a thing with my own eyes. Yours, Leo.
Leo, it's after midnight, but I can't sleep. I need to tell you something. I think we should stop. I'm beginning to get addicted to you, and I can't spend my days waiting for emails from a man who turns his back on me when he meets me, who doesn't want to get to know me. I can't go on like this. Do you understand me, Leo?
I think you're looking for something. Let's call it adventure. Am I right?
Leo, I'm not looking for adventure with you. I want to see who you are, that's all. Do you want to meet me?
Last night, I had a vivid dream about you, Emmy.
Really? That's happened to me too. I mean, I've had vivid dreams about you, but what exactly do you mean by vivid? Was it erotic?
Wildly erotic.
I want details. What did we do? What was my face like?
I didn't really register your face. I mean, I didn't see a face, or breasts, or any other part of your body. I just felt it all.
If you didn't see me, how can you tell that I was the woman you were blindly groping?
Because there's only one woman who expresses herself like you do. And that's you.
Leo, let's meet up. Bernard's taken the children on a walking holiday this week. Let's not miss out on this opportunity, please. What have we got to lose?
15th of March, 2011. 10:03 p.m. Subject, what we could lose. 1, you. 2, me. 3, us. Good night, Emmy. I'm sorry I am how I am.
Night, Leo. Dream of me, and perhaps take a look at me while you're at it. 21st of March 2011, 7:53 a.m. Subject, you. Dear Leo, I haven't heard from you in nearly a week. I'm beginning to get worried about you. Or if this is what you call tactics, pretty rubbish, I must say. I'm not writing to you anymore. See ya, Emmy.
2nd of April 2011, 9:56 a.m. Subject, let's meet. Emmy, do you still want to? When? Today? Tomorrow? Day after tomorrow?
Hark at him. Back from the dead, eh? Well, maybe I will meet you. But first, you're going to have to explain why you haven't been in touch for so long. And it had better be good.
My mother died. Is that good enough?
Shit. Are you being serious? How?
In hospital, they called it a malignant tumour. It all happened pretty fast. She wasn't in pain for long.
Were you close? I'm sorry, Leo. People always seem to ask the same questions.
A week ago, I would have said no, not really. Today, though, I'm wondering what it is I'm missing if it's not closeness. But I don't want to bore you with this, Emmy.
You're not boring me, Leo. Do you want to meet up and talk about it? I might be just the right person, in a way.
Okay. Let's. Thank you, Emmy. Shall we meet after work tonight?
Dear, dear Leo, I can't tonight. How about tomorrow, around 7?
The funeral's tomorrow. But 7 p.m. should be fine. I'll email you and we can arrange where, okay?
Despite the awful circumstances, I'm looking forward to seeing you.
I'm looking forward to it too.
Hello? Leo? It's gone 6 p.m. I haven't heard from you, so I guess we're not meeting. Emmy.
Good morning, dear Emmy. I'm so sorry. I spent yesterday evening with Marlena, my ex-girlfriend. She was at the funeral. She really liked my mother, and vice versa. She was in a bit of a state, worse than me, really, and I had to console her. Please don't be angry with me for standing you up. I hope you understand, and thank you again for your support. Love, Leo.
That's okay. Best wishes, E.
Emmy, have I seriously offended you?
No, not at all. Sorry, just really busy.
I don't believe you. I know you, Emmy. The very idea I might have offended you is giving me a bad conscience.
Don't beat about the bush, Leo. Have you got something going on with Marlena again? Did you manage to console her?
Oh, so that's it. Leo dares to meet up with his ex-girlfriend at his mother's funeral, right? Well, I admit to you that 6 hours after having buried my mother, I did come within a hair's breadth of sleeping with my ex-girlfriend. I hope you're suitably shocked. Now, I have to do some actual work here. Have a nice day.
Dear Leo, a man with your sensitivities should know that a woman with my sensitivities would feel sorely rejected in favour of a last-minute ex-girlfriend hair's breadth near-sexual experience. Yes, indeed, Leo. I feel I've been horribly rejected by you. I'm not just anybody. Yours respectfully, Emmy.
Dear Emmy, you're not just anybody. Not to me, at any rate. But we must not start intruding into each other's private life. You cannot become my conscience. As it is, you're already like a second voice inside me, accompanying me through the day. I'm so grateful to you for your wit, your charm, for your spirit. But think, if we had met the other night, all the secrets would be gone. The puzzle solved. No more magic. Emmy, I'm afraid. Afraid of losing my second voice. I want to keep it. I want to treat it with care. Yours, Leo.
You say we must not intrude into each other's private life. What are we doing here? The things we're talking about, the way we feel. We are already in each other's private lives. Good night, Emmy.
Are you in bed yet?
I hardly ever go to bed before you.
Don't go to bed yet, Emmy. I'm still awake. Come to me, Emmy. Let's meet. Just to have a drink. I'll only put my hand on your shoulder, I promise. Just a hug. Just a kiss. Just a few kisses. No more. You're married, unfortunately. Emmy, I need to know what you smell like. I need your smell in my nose. I'm being serious, Emmy. Come over to my place. I'm at 64 Daniels Avenue. Come over. I'll even close my eyes. I don't have to know what you look like. I just need to smell, kiss, and feel you very close.
Night-night, Leo. I can't come over now, but it's good to be with you. I could get used to it. I have got used to it. I don't know if this is cheating. All I know is that I need you, Leo. I think of you all the time, and I need you very badly. I'm off now. I'll be in touch again tomorrow.
Fifth of April, 2011, 5:43 a.m. Subject, Emma. Dear Mr. Leica, I find it hard to write you this message. I'll admit I'm embarrassed, more so with every line. My name is Bernard Rothner. Mr. Leica, I have a huge favour to ask of you. I will then try to explain my motives. Mr. Leica, meet my wife. Please do it, and bring this nightmare to an end. At the moment, you are not palpable, Mr. Leica. You're just her fantasy. You're fashioned out of words. Only when my wife can see you, as she sees me, as someone imperfect, only then can I compete with you on an equal footing. Allow me to fill in some blanks for you. When we met, Emma was 23, and I was her piano teacher at the Academy of Music, 14 years her senior, happily married, with two kids. A car accident destroyed our family, and my wife, Joanna, died. And then, out of the blue, there was Emma, this sparkling, sassy, gorgeous young woman. The children ran straight to her, and I fell head over heels in love with her. 2 years later, we got married. That was 8 years ago, which makes her 34 years old now, by the way. Every day that passed, I waited in fear for a younger man to appear, and Emma would say, "Bernard, I've fallen in love with somebody else." But a far worse nightmare has come to pass. You, Mr. Leica. Ever since you arrived, as it were, Emma has been transformed. She's distanced from me. She sits in her room for hours, staring at the computer screen, and when there's a smile on her face, it's no longer for me. Do you know how much that hurts? So, for my sins, I snooped around in Emma's room. Eventually, in a secret drawer, I found a folder containing her entire correspondence with a certain Leo Leica. Printed out, nice and crisp. Pages and pages of it. In a fit of self-destruction, I read through all the emails last night. Let me tell you, since the death of my first wife, I have experienced no greater torture. And now I come to the nadir of my self-humiliation. Please, Mr. Leica, meet her. Spend a night with her. I won't think of it as infidelity. Sleep with her. Once. Let that be the culmination, the coda after the crescendo of passion you've built up. Then put a stop to it. Release her. Let our family continue to live. Just one final request, Mr. Leica. Don't betray my confidence. I've gone behind Emma's back, and I could never look at her in the eye again if she knew. She would hate herself and me in equal measure. And now I'm going to send the most excruciating letter I've ever written. Yours sincerely, Bernard Rothner.
Dear Mr. Rothner, I don't know what to say. I'm shocked. You haven't just humiliated yourself, you've shamed all three of us. I need to think. I'm going to draw back for a while. I can't promise you anything. Regards, Leo Leica.
Leo? Where are you? I haven't heard from you all day. Leo? Oh, you have no idea how close I was to coming over last night. Closer than I've ever been. Why don't you write to me? Should I be worried? Leo, 2 days. It's been 2 days. Leo, what's wrong? Please, please write to me. Your Emmy.
8th of April, 2011, 10:47 p.m. Subject, a deal. Dear Mr. Rothner, let me propose a little deal. If I promise I won't say a word to your wife about your email to me and how it came about, you have to promise me that you will never again read her emails to me, or mine to her. Regards, Leo Leica.
Yes, Mr. Leica, I promise. I've already read too many things I shouldn't have. And now, may I repeat my request? Will you meet my wife?
Mr. Rothner, I can't answer that. And even if I could, I wouldn't. Kind regards, Leo Leica.
9th of April, 2011, 6:05 a.m. Subject, another woman? What's her name, Leo? Leo, is Marlena back again?
Hi, Emmy. Sorry I've not been in touch. You got it all wrong. There's nobody else. Just me. The last few weeks have worn me out. I need a break. A break from myself. I'll write again in a few days. Promise. Lots and lots of love. Leo.
Leo? I know you're not there. You're having a break from yourself. I wish I could. I'm having a drink with myself. A large whiskey. I'm so unhappy at the moment. And do you know why? Because you're not there. I've fallen in love with you in a peculiar way, Leo. And I feel like I can't live without you. Not happily. Awful, isn't it? But I love my husband too, and the children. I wanted this family and no other, and I still do. Thanks for listening. I miss you so much. All my love, Emmy. Leo, it's been a whole week now. Not a word from the man on a break from himself. I realise my email the other night was verging on the painful. Was it too much for you, Leo? Longingly, Emmy. 30th of April, 2011, 1:13 a.m. Subject, my last message. 8 days. This is the last email I'm going to send without hearing back. What you're doing to me is so harsh, Leo. You can do anything you want except keep up this silence.
2nd of May, 2011, 8:02 a.m. Subject, counter message. Dear Emmy, it only took me a few hours to make a life-changing decision, but it has taken a little more time to tell you the consequences. In a few weeks, I'll be moving to Boston for at least 2 years. I'm going to be running a project at Boston University. I've also made another decision. Here it comes. I'm going to stop our emails. I have to get you out of my head, Emmy. It can't be that you're the first and last thought I have each day for the rest of my life. You're spoken for. I'm certain your husband loves you. Emmy, I'm shutting down. I'm going to say goodbye. Yours, Leo.
2nd of May, 2011, 8:04 a.m. Subject, you call that a goodbye? Dear Leo, was that your final email? I can't believe it. I hereby lose faith in final emails. I mean, Leo, hello? Off you go to Boston then. Sever contact with me if you like, but don't finish it like that. That's beneath you. Please prove to me that wasn't your last email. Please try to finish with a flourish. How about, to round things off, I suggest we meet up. At least that would be a better ending. And now I'm off to have a good cry.
Dear Emmy, to round things off, I suggest we meet up.
You're not serious.
Oh yes, I am. I wouldn't joke about that, Emmy. I'd like to conclude our email relationship with a meeting. One single encounter before I move to Boston.
What do you hope to gain from that?
Catharsis, clarity, friendship. A conclusion befitting this exciting phase of our lives. The simple answer to thousands of complicated, unresolved questions.
What happens if we want to meet a second time?
As far as I'm concerned, that's not a possibility.
Why not? Everything's possible.
I'm sorry, Emmy. I have to go out now. Love, Leo.
Leo? You can't just go!
Dear Emmy, my flight is a fortnight tomorrow, so I'll say it once more. It would be great if we could meet before I go. If you're not sure, just do it for my sake, please. It would make me so happy.
Dear Leo, when are you free this week?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you decide.
Tomorrow evening. Where, though?
At a cafe of your choice. At a museum of your choice. At a park bench of your choice. Or in any other place of your choice.
I choose your place. But how will we greet each other? Will we shake hands? Or will we just stare at each other for a little while, like aliens?
I suggest I put a glass of wine in your hand and we'll propose a toast to us. It'll be a lovely, harmless and enjoyable one-off encounter, Emmy. You'll see.
Sure. Let's do it. Oh, are we really going to? Isn't it a bit crazy?
Of course we're really going to do it.
Good night, Leo. I'm terrified of our meeting tomorrow. I can't bear to imagine that afterwards I'm going to lose you. Love, Emmy. Good morning, Leo. I didn't sleep a wink. What time should I come to your place this evening? Oh, Leo, what if this evening goes better than you think? Might you want to keep on writing to me, even from Boston? Might you not want to stay together with me?
Emmy Rothner, you are not free to stay together with me. May I ask you a question? What are you going to tell your husband about where you're going tonight?
Oh, Leo, I'll tell him I'm meeting up with a friend. He'll say, do I know him? And I'll reply, I don't think so. I haven't told you much about him. Then I'll say, we've got lots to catch up on, so I may be late home. And he'll say, have fun.
And what if you don't get home until dawn?
Exciting. I like it when you talk like that. Only 4 hours to go, by the way. Would you like to know which of the three Emmys from the cafe you'll be opening the door to?
No, don't tell me, Emmy. I'd like to leave the door ajar. You come in. You go into the first room on the left from the hall. It's dark. I put my arms around you without seeing you. I kiss you blind. One kiss. Just a single kiss.
And then I leave, or what?
No, not at all. One kiss, then we'll put on the light and see who we've kissed. Then I'll give you a glass of wine and we'll drink a toast. And then we'll see what happens.
This is risky, Leo. I have no idea whether I'll like the way you kiss. How do you kiss? Like dry or what? How intrusive and agile is your tongue? Do you keep your eyes open or closed?
I kiss like I write.
That's incredibly big-headed of you. But it doesn't sound bad at all. What should I wear?
I'll leave that up to you. But I think you should wear something.
Should I wear something that might increase the probability of the blind staying down for a while after we kiss? Because neither of us has our hands free?
If you don't mind my being succinct, yes.
Okay. Unless my heart beats its way out of my ribcage, I'll see you at your place soon.
Press the intercom button marked 15. When you're in the lift, put in the code 142 and you'll be taken to the top floor. There's only one door up there.
I can't wait. Oh, and before we go kissing in the dark, I ought to at least tell you my age. I'm 34. Leo? Are you there?
Oh, Emmy, there's so much to say, so much to understand. Do you understand?
Slow down, Leo. One thing at a time. Explanations can wait. Understanding it all can wait. For now, let's just kiss. See you soon, my love. Dear Leo, I know it's unforgivable. Your silence is evidence of that. You're not even asking me why. It was all because of one letter. One letter in a place where it shouldn't have been at the last minute. Do you remember, Leo? You asked me what I would tell Bernard about my evening. I was at the door as I said my exit line. We've got lots to catch up on, so I might be late home. And I thought he'd reply, "Have fun." And he did. But then he paused. And then it came. Just a murmur, no more. He called me Emmy. "Have fun, Emmy," he said quietly. He always calls me Emma, nothing else. That I, instead of an A, Leo, it sent shockwaves through me. It was all wrong coming from him. It was as if he was telling me, "I know you want to be Emmy. Well, be Emmy then." I wasn't able to tell you I was going to let you down. I tried, but something happened. My soul vanished from the screen. I love you, Leo. I love you so much. And Bernard must have sensed that. Where can we go from here?
7 May 2011. Time, 7:25 a.m. This is an automatically generated delivery status notification. The recipient can no longer receive mail. All incoming mail will be deleted automatically.
In Love Virtually by Daniel Glattauer, Emmy was played by Amelia Fox and Leo by David Tennant. Bernard was Paul Jessen. Love Virtually was adapted for radio by Eileen Horn and was directed by Clive Brill. It's a Pacificus production for BBC Radio 4.